Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Central Otago is now well known as a centre of wine production that's the envy of the world. Their Pinot Noirs are especially applauded, but that's not all. The climate and soil also lends itself to another culinary delicacy, saffron. Although it may conjure up images of exotic bazaars and sultry cultures, it's from Bannockburn that some of the best saffron in the world is emerging. Simon Pound talks to grower Morris Watson of Heart of the Desert Saffron, who's on a mission to educate food writers, chefs and every New Zealand cook to the opportunities that lie in store in our kitchens for using saffron and our very backyards for growing it.
How did you come to grow saffron?
Well, we currently live here in Bannockburn and we've been here, 9 years now. And when we came down from Nelson, where we'd previously lived, my brother-in-law, who was head of the Otago Polytech's Hort unit here in Cromwell, we were looking at what we could grow on a relatively small footprint. Like, we've got an acre of land here. And he suggested saffron. He said, well, why don't you have a look at saffron? Because there had been some research done not far away at Earnscliffe back in the 1990s by MAF and Hort Research. A guy called Malcolm Douglas had done some test plantings over there and published a paper in 1995. And it's really that paper that most of the New Zealand plantings are based on. But anyway, Malcolm's paper essentially said that Central Otago was probably one of the best places in the world to grow saffron.
How interesting. Had you ever thought of New Zealand as being a place to grow saffron? It seems such an exotic kind of thing.
Absolutely. Like, most people in the country don't even know that, as I said, some of the best in the world is grown here. And it does, yeah, it's sort of, you know, Persian and exotic and expensive and all those sorts of things. But It's ideally suited to the Central Otago climate.
What is that exactly makes it suited?
Well, just before we go there, it'll grow anywhere in New Zealand. It's a bit like a weed. And in fact, there was one grower I was talking to who said that he was growing in the Hawke's Bay and they decided to move their patch, so they'd sprayed all the saffron and then he put a tennis court down. And he said for years later, this damn saffron kept popping up through the tennis court. So it is a bit like a weed, but to grow it really well, and certainly for commercial growing, high, long, hot summers, soil temperatures above 23 degrees centigrade for up to 50 days will produce maximum flowering from the corms. That's what the research tells us. So long, hot summers, and then infrequent rainfall around this time of year, around Easter when the harvest is, because if you have sort of frequent rainfall, it's a bit of a drag, really, with sort of thousands of wet flowers and no fun to play with, I can tell you. So those are a couple of conditions. Frost, that doesn't mind frost. We picked in snow 1 year. It grows throughout the winter. The corms, they're like sort of bulbs, are relatively dormant through the heat of the summer. So they are underground, and they're deciding whether they're going to throw flowers or leaves. And so they pop up in March. They flower sort of late March, April, and then they grow throughout the winter. So it grows up to about sort of 50 centimetres, this sort of grassy, green grassy looking.
Explain to us the look of the plant from the very first, you know, like what does the bulb look like when you put it into the ground, and then what does it end up looking like?
Think daffodil bulb, a bit like a daffodil bulb, except it is a corm. It's slightly, physiologically, it's different to a bulb, but it's if you think sort of daffodil bulb, that'll give you a bit of an idea. It's a crocus, and it's a particular species of autumn flowering crocus. So you just need to be pretty fussy. If people sort of think, oh, I've got some autumn crocuses out there, I'll go out and eat them. Well, just be very, very careful, because it's called Crocus sativus, is its Linnaean scientific name, and it's the only one which you can successfully eat. Some of the others are a little bit poisonous, so you just need to be careful what you're dealing with. So it'll
quite a nice way to put it, a little bit poisonous and you end up a little bit dead, do you?
Well, yeah, a lot sick.
Yeah.
So it's a corm. You plant it in the ground in sort of January, and we plant them in long rows here. We've got about a quarter of an acre in saffron, and that they throw up a bit of leaf, and then very quickly after that come these little mauve, purple-coloured flowers. So the flower doesn't come above the ground that much, maybe maximum of sort of about 100 mils above the ground, about 4 inches.
How big are the flowers, Morris?
A bit bigger than a golf ball.
bit bigger than a golf ball, and they're a mauvey purpley colour, are they?
A mauve purple colour, and then in the middle of them are these three bright red, scarlet red stigmas, and that's the sort of female part of the flower, and they're surrounded by the little yellow anthers, which are the male pollen-carrying parts of the flowers. So it's the stigmas that we then harvest, and it's the whole flower, but it's the stigmas that we're really interested in, and they're this bright scarlet red. So I often describe saffron as a plant of transformation, because it has these purple coloured flowers with red stigmas that turn things yellow. So it has this nice sort of spectrum of colour transformation that it works through.
And you're just gearing up now for the harvest season, yeah? What does that involve? Because only three stamen to a flower, how many does it take? How many flowers does it take to get, say, a kilogram?
Well, this season we'll probably pick over 200,000 flowers.
Wow, and that's all done by hand, is it?
Yep, because you have to fish around in amongst the leafy green parts to pull the flowers out, and then tomorrow in that same place there'll be more, and then there'll be more the day after and the day after and the day after. So mechanising it, like it's been grown it's been cultivated for perhaps 5,000 years, and various people have tried different things about trying to mechanise it to reduce the labour input, but to date, we haven't got too far on that one.
So you're going to pick 200,000 flowers by hand and then snip the three stamen out and then individually dry them.
Yep.
This starts
yep.
to give you some appreciation for why saffron can be quite an expensive spice.
Absolutely right. It's hugely labour-intensive. Like, we're at the peak of the season. My wife does most of the picking, but I'm involved now just through the peak, and we often employ another person. So we can be working up to 14-hour days for about 10 days through the peak of the season. I'll take issue. It's not that expensive. That's one of the other issues.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because it has this image as being expensive and exotic and fancy, but you don't have to use a lot, do you?
And I'd say to people, if you buy, you might go into the supermarket to make a nice salad, and you might buy an avocado to go in it. Well, for a dish with saffron in, you'll pay the same amount. You'll use, $2, $3, $4 worth of saffron, really, for a dish that would feed four people. So it's not, you might buy some fresh herbs or something, and you'll pay several dollars for those fresh herbs to put in a dish. So we need to move away from that expensive. It's about quality, and a little goes an enormously long way. So
doesn't it? Talk to us about that, because you're using very small amounts, aren't you, to flavour big dishes, like a couple of dried stamen, really, isn't it?
Yeah, let's just get a terminology, the stigmas.
Stigma.
And you'll use maybe 15 or 20 of those for a dish to feed 4 to 6 people. And one of the things that people need to be cautious about when using New Zealand grown saffron, they may be familiar with the cheap imported Iranian grown saffron. Iran grows around about 200 to 220 tonnes of saffron, which is about 90% of the world production. And
it's a lot of flowers.
It is a lot of flowers, but they have about 11,000 hectares in saffron in Iran. So it is a major industry for them. So it comes into New Zealand, and you can buy it in the supermarket, and it looks kind of a bit sort of brown, and it smells a bit sort of woody and a little bit musty. In part because of the way it's been grown, the way it's been dried. So if you're familiar with using that stuff, when you first use New Zealand saffron, you'll overdo it and you'll put too much in. We recommend to chefs that they use perhaps a half to a third of what they're used to using, because the product is so strong, it develops these lovely rich flavours and vibrant yellow colours. So it's important to get the right amount. And equally, it's important not to underdo it, because if you put too little in and you serve it up to your guests and they sort of go, I think, oh, heavens, if that's saffron, I'm not going to, it's pretty ho-hum. When it's good, it's very, very good. And it's one of those sort of flavours, like if you taste fresh vanilla, like vanilla bean pod, or fresh spices, it's like chocolate, or it's like coffee. It does something to your body. Your body reacts in a very intense way, or a very strong reaction, almost, sort of like an addictive reaction.
It's somewhat intoxicating, isn't it? It's
a lovely kind of feeling. Intoxicating with a small eye, I think. Mm. Yeah, it's a lovely flavour, and it's a strong flavour that is, when it's done really well, it's unforgettable.
And you're on a bit of a mission at the moment, aren't you, to introduce it to restaurant owners and food writers and people so that they know that New Zealand has this strong little industry going. How big is the industry here?
New Zealand won't produce any more than perhaps 50 kilos, which isn't a lot. And it's more than enough to satisfy, like New Zealand probably imports, I would be absolutely guessing, but New Zealand may import, maybe several hundred kilos into New Zealand each year. So there is a huge demand, a huge market in New Zealand at the very top end of the restaurant trade, and also for culinary use. It can be used in cooking, in cakes, and a whole range of things. So it's not only your standard sort of meat and veg type meals. It can be used in a variety of things. So there is a huge potential there. But equally, we export to Australia and to England. So people like Sir Peter Gordon use our product in London. So there is for the top end, for high quality saffron, there is a big market around the world for it.
And it's one last idea here, Maurice. If someone was wanting to grow their own saffron, where does it grow around New Zealand? What would your advice be?
As I said before, it'll grow anywhere in New Zealand. Like we've got growers on our grower network in Lawnville and Otatara and Invercargill, and there are other growers as far north as the Hokianga. But ideally, it's the long hot summers and the dry autumns that are good conditions. So Central Otago, Mid-Canterbury, Marlborough, Hawke's Bay, they are sort of the key areas that come to mind quickly. And our Heart of the Desert brand that we sell throughout the country, we also sell corms to people. So people can buy corms to just have a few in their home garden if they're interested, to grow enough for their annual needs that there might be. But equally, we have a variety of people coming to us all the time saying, well, I'm interested in growing this stuff, and I think I can find a use for it, whether it be added value, such as there's growers around New Zealand who use it in liqueurs, in honeys, on toasted cashew nuts and things like that. So there's a variety of added value products. Lime curds, there's a Wairarapa grower using it in a lime curd. There's a variety of things that you can use it in.
Well, that's magic. Hey, look, best of luck for your harvest over the next couple of weeks. Sounds like a very beautiful time, but a lot of very hard work.
It is, yeah. The autumn colours are good, and sort of frost in the morning, but yeah, it's kind of fun when you're in amongst all these little purple flowers.
That was Simon Pound talking to Maurice Watson of Heart of the Desert Saffron in Bannockburn, Central Otago. Coming up after the break, we find out about an autistic starfish, and we discuss the controversial T-shirts of Mr. Vintage.